Prepare to step into a world where imagination knows no bounds as we present legends, loot, and lore. Join host, DM, and self-confessed Dice Goblin Andrew, who will guide you every step of the way into the realm of Dungeons & Dragons. From actual gameplay and cooking up delicious D&D foods to interviews with other D&D fans and newbies, this podcast is your gateway to becoming the hero of your own story. Whether you're a new adventurer or a seasoned traveler seeking new insights, Legends, Loot, and Lore has something for everyone. After the episode, visit our website at www.legendslootandlore.com for even more resources and exclusive content. And if you're as passionate about this adventure as we are, help support our quest at legendslootandlore.supercast.com. Embark on this odyssey with us and let the echoes of ancient tales guide you toward a destiny filled with limitless possibilities. Roll for initiative, because your adventure begins now.
Hello and welcome back, everybody, to Legends, Loot, and Lore, another fun and exciting episode. I am so thrilled today to be here with my lifelong companion, as we journey down the road of life together.
Your long-suffering companion?
Wow. Fair. My wife, Catherine.
Hello.
Hello. And again,
there will be no rock gnome voices today.
No rock gnome. So Catherine and I are both under the weather, trying to put out a podcast episode this week. So we're going to see how we do. Also joining us today is Fable.
Hi.
Fable's busy trying to find their friends.
I found them. Okay. They're giving me talking points.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about a couple fun things today. So last week was the second session for our actual play. So, quick recap, the party went up to the Cragmaw cave, the Cragmaw hideout, where all the other goblins were hiding. They had Vincent with them. Xanros' character did her best to recruit goblins to work at the B&B. She was very successful in getting, I think, up to 6 of them beyond Vincent. So, yeah. It's Vincent plus 6.
Plus 2 wolves.
Plus 2.
7 goblins and 2 wolves.
And 2 wolves, which is excellent. So 7 goblins and 2 wolves in her employ. She hasn't quite, I don't know if she's paid them yet anything.
No.
So I want to see if, when they get antsy. They may get a little antsy and start looking for pay if they're following you around and not doing anything.
Have they done any work yet?
Yeah, but they're not getting paid because they were looting and plundering people on the Tribor Trail.
Uh-huh.
And now they're just following you around for some promise of...
They're getting fed.
Are they?
I'll feed them.
You'll feed them?
Yeah.
And speaking of feeding, that's the other thing we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the next recipe that we're making.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the Heroes Feast cookbook, Do Tell Xanros. I won't say Xanros. Catherine. So, because you're not going to do Xanros's voice, so
I don't think I can,
Catherine.
I wonder if I can. Should I try it?
No, don't.
I kind of want to try now.
You're gonna burst into a coughing fit.
I probably will, but I'm gonna try. Yes, you try it.
Oh God, wait. I don't think I can do it either.
Let me try it.
Heartland's rose apple and blackberry pie.
All right, Oh my God. So we are gonna. Like I said, I briefly wanted to talk about what happened last week. So you cleared out the caves.
Yep.
You defeated Clarg Griswold, the bugbear leader of the Cragmaw goblins.
Yeah, who should have just come to work for me.
He really should have, but he was beholden to King Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
And someone named the Spider.
Yes.
So you heard somebody who's being called the Spider.
Right.
Which we don't know much about, but this mysterious spider yet.
I think we can assume that, and now I'm not going to be able to think of his name.
What's that?
Gundren.
Gundren Rockseeker.
I'm pretty sure Spider has him because we found the other guy.
You found Sildar. You rescued Sildar.
Yeah, he was like tortured and half dead.
Yes. Not all dead though.
Just mostly dead.
Mostly dead.
That's what I did write down. The one thing I did write down. My notes are very interesting.
Interesting.
Killed Manager Clark. Tortured, looking for a map, mutters spider. That's all I got.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Sildar muttered spider, which means I think Gundren's with spider being taken to King Dave Grohl.
Who's in charge? There's like, is spider?
Charles is in charge.
I wrote down.
I want Charles in charge of me.
I bet you do.
That sounds, wait.
Yeah.
I wrote down an investigating human wizard, a part of Lord's Alliance. And I'm pretty sure I spelled this phonetically. So Aranos is his name.
There's somebody else. I'd have to look up in my notes, but yeah, there is somebody else. Sildar was going to Fandale and to look for somebody else. And I think that's who you're referring to there.
Probably. My notes are shit.
So. Was he going there when he met up with Gundren?
I think they were both on their way to Fandalen and they kind of teamed up together because Gundren wanted
a team up.
It's a team up. I think Gundren wanted to help getting there, some protection on the way. And so I think Sildar just kind of accompanied him on the way.
Got it.
And Sildar had his own reasons for heading to Fandalen, but unbeknownst to Gundren, but knownst to us. So there's that. So, and there was the rushing water. Remember they released the extra water and Dal got washed away, but fortunately passed her strength save and didn't get completely washed out of the cave. So that was good. Mm-hmm. And what else? You got a bunch of, you're going to take all the supplies because there was a bunch of leftover supplies that they had looted from travelers. So you're going to bring those back. And I think that guy was going to get you 50 gold.
Yes.
Because you were bringing those back to one place. And I think Sildar said he was going to give you 50 gold.
I did write that down.
For transporting, for getting him safely to Fandalen.
So wait, was it 100 gold plus the 10 that we were getting?
Supplies to loot, you get 50 gold pieces. And I wrote down all the treasure we got. Because I had my priorities straight.
Right.
Which is inside 1,700 copper pieces. So we got 566 each. Two left, which we gave to Vincent. 150 silver pieces, 50 each. Two potions of healing. Jade statue with golden eyes, worth 40 pieces.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. I thought it was just 50 when we got there. But I don't remember Sildar saying he was going to pay us 50.
I think Sildar said he would... He would pay you $50 gold pieces to
somebody giving me $50?
Yes.
Awesome.
Sildar will give you 50 gold to transport him safely to Fandalen.
That works.
All right. So that was kind of the backstory. So you've got Sildar, I think you were heading back to your wagon that you had hidden on the Tribor Trail. And we're getting ready to go the rest of the way to Fandalen, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the recap of last week, the brief history of time. We're also going to talk about what's sticking out of the.
I saved the page.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it is though.
I don't know. So we are going to talk about leveling up your characters.
Yes. We are level 2 now.
Because yes, you are now level 2. So we'll talk about that, and we're also going to talk about, cuz this is now, so we're 2 sessions into this. So this is really Fable's first exposure to a kind of pre-made
a book campaign. Yes.
A D&D module. Actually written for D&D. You have played for years
in this single campaign. We started it. Wait, didn't I just tell you when we started it? Where was it?
2020.
It was
June of 2020.
No, 2022.
2022.
June of 2022. And we've been playing the same campaign ever since. And it's been entirely homebrew. And it has brought up some unique challenges. And also, it's so different.
Yeah, so we will... We will talk about that as well. All right, so let's talk about leveling up your character.
Yes.
So up next to your name, and so we're doing this all in D&D Beyond.
Yeah.
So up next to your name, see where it says manage?
Yep.
So go to manage.
Yep.
And then under that, my character, you see manage character and levels.
I see. Okay. Oh, so I can change it to level 1?
No, you want to be level 2.
Okay.
Because you already picked these things.
Yes.
So let's talk about it and see, it tells you at what level you got different things.
Okay, so like I got key and unarmored movement at 2nd level.
Yes. So you got the ability to use key. So starting at 2nd level, your training allows you to harness the mystic energy of key. Your access to this energy is represented by a number of key points. Your monk level determines the number of points you have. And there's a whole monk table that shows you, based on what level, how many.
I have 2.
So you have 2 key points at the moment.
Yes.
Now, this is where you can spend the key points on. You start with 3 features.
Yep.
Flurry of Blows.
Yep.
Known to others as Fury of Blows.
Only Mike.
Patient Defense.
Yep.
And Step of the Wind.
Right.
You get more abilities as you level up. When you spend a key point, and this is the nice thing, you get key points after a short or long rest.
Yeah.
Because you must spend at least 30 minutes of the rest meditating to regain your key points. So you don't have to always have a long rest to get these back, which is really nice. So you can have as little as 1 hour to regain your key points.
That is really good.
Yeah, short rests, getting certain abilities back at a short rest is really helpful. So you want to talk about the 3 features: Flurry of Blows,
sure.
Patient Defense, and Step of the Wind.
Yeah. So Flurry of Blows, immediately after you take the attack action on your turn, you can spend 1 key point to make 2 unarmed strikes as a bonus action. Patient Defense, you can spend 1 key point to take the dodge action as a bonus action on your turn. And Step of the Wind, you can spend 1 key point to take the disengage or dash action as a bonus action on your turn, and your jump distance is doubled for the turn.
So what does all that mean? So let's talk about Flurry of Blows first. So this one's really nice because it gets you. So after you take an attack action, you can take 2 more unarmed strikes as a bonus action. Now I think you already got like 1 because you're unarmored.
Yeah.
I think you already got 1 bone. You could use 1. Unarmed attack. You can make 1 unarmed attack.
Yes.
As a bonus. But this gives you 2 unarmed strikes after your main attack, which is really nice. So you basically 3 attacks on your turn, which is really, really good. I mean, they're only unarmed, so it's not a huge amount of damage, but it's extra damage that you couldn't do normally.
And it's only if I want to use key points, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, Patient Defense is a nice one because you can use dodge as a bonus action.
Yeah.
Which is really helpful, so you don't have to use your main action. You can attack and then use dodge as the bonus. So you don't, because dodge would normally be your action for a turn. So you can use that as a bonus after you make an attack.
So what am I doing? Dodging one of the bad guys?
Dodge, duck,
dip, yeah, I knew this
dive,
was
and dodge. You can dodge out of the way. Why must I test you?
Do I have to take that action during my turn, or is it on, like, the opponent's turn?
No, that's your bonus action.
So what's the point of it? You see what I'm saying? If nobody's doing anything to me right now, why do I want to dodge?
Well, I think that's a really good question. Let me look up dodge. So dodge, when you take the dodge action, you focus entirely on avoiding attacks until the start of your next turn. This is the benefit to dodge. Any attack roll made against you has disadvantage. So you take the dodge on your turn, but until your next turn, anything, any attack against you has disadvantage if you can see the attacker. And you make dexterity saving throws with advantage.
Okay. I feel like I'm never going to use that.
That's a good one, though.
Really?
Absolutely. Right. If you're in the heat of battle,
yeah,
and you use dodge,
yeah,
means anybody that tries to make an attack on you until your next turn, they have a disadvantage.
Okay.
So the likelihood that they're going to hit you is that much less.
Lower.
Yeah.
That'd be good if you were in like the middle of a...
Right.
Right, with my whole 12 hit points.
But you're a melee fighter. You're in the heat of battle. You're in the midst of...
Yeah, that would actually be good. Because imagine you're in a group of people and they're all going to want to come out at you. But now they have like, I don't know, like stuffed animals on them. Like it's a bit harder to get a good blow in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like Yeah.
Or if they're all drunk, I don't know.
Well, because imagine Neo in the Matrix.
Right.
You know, when he does his little lean back, that's what you're dodging those attacks.
Yeah.
So because you can move faster than the bullets, they have disadvantage on you.
Right. Right.
That would be the benefit to that.
That's cool then.
And then last but not least,
Step of the Wind.
This is a great one because, so the dash action.
Yeah.
The dash action would be your action. What that does is it means it doubles your movement speed.
Okay.
So I think you're what, 25 feet?
I don't.
If I recall correctly, because you're small. So I think you're.
I am small.
Yeah,
it is 25.
Yeah, you only have 25 feet movement. So you could dash and move
go 50.
50 feet.
Right.
But if you just took the dash action, that would have been your turn. You couldn't attack after making that dash action.
Got it.
So here you can use the dash action as a bonus action.
Right.
And still be able to attack. So if somebody were far away, you could go running up at them really fast and then still attack them instead of
whack
you running
the crap out of them.
Yeah. Instead of you running up to them.
Yeah.
And then they get a free hit at you because you can't attack them.
Right.
So you get the best of both worlds with that.
Okay, cool. So that's Miley Cyrus of you.
Yeah. And then you. Wow.
Fable's giving me the eyes. Do you get the reference?
Possibly.
It's Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
You get the best of both worlds.
That's right. Sorry, makes me think of Clerks. The other thing you get at second level is unarmored movement.
Yes.
So starting at second level, this is a good one. Your speed increases by 10 feet while you are not wearing armor or wielding a shield. The bonus increases when you reach certain monk levels as shown on the monk tables.
So does that mean my speed is always 35 feet now?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
As long as you don't have armor or have a shield.
Right.
You're up to 35 feet now.
Cool.
So that's great for a small character.
Yeah.
So that means with unarmored movement and Step of the Wind, you could actually go 70 feet on a turn.
Cool.
And remember, that's also your jumping distance is doubled for your turn. So you could leap over tall buildings.
I'm like a tiger.
Your floor routine just got so much better.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about the floor routine.
Didn't talk about the floor routine, and we should talk about the floor routine.
So let's talk about the floor routine.
I just want to sing the Tigger song now, so I'm no good.
Sing the Tigger song.
No, I'm not going to.
Oh, okay. Just
what's in my head.
Got it. That's what's in your head.
Yes.
So talk about your floor routine. You have advantage or proficiency in
acrobatics. Yes. So we're creating a floor routine. We like to dance.
We do.
That's excellent. Is this going to be like dinner and a show at the B&B?
Ooh. Yeah, we could totally do that.
You're like, I'm going to put on a show for you people.
That's like the, okay, so Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
Hotel Hell.
Yes.
The best Gordon Ramsay show. Why it got canceled, I will never know. He went to one place where the lady just insisted, who owned the hotel, yes, insisted on performing in the restaurant. She was very bad, but thought she sounded just like Cher.
Oh.
And that's Zanros now.
Zanros is going to
put on a little show.
Excellent.
And then D&D Gordon Ramsay is going to come along. And
well, there's D&D Guy Fieri in our homebrew campaign, which we will talk about.
Ooh.
He's a dragonborn.
Nice. Of course he is. Does he have flames on his shirt?
I think you know.
Does he come from Flavortown?
Yes.
Awesome. All right.
I've seen Guy Fieri in the flesh.
Oh my God, really?
Yes, he looks exactly like Guy Fieri. Like, he looks exactly like you expect him to look. Yes, he was eating dinner in a restaurant where I was having dinner with a couple of friends, and we all took turns going to the bathroom so we could walk past his table and get a look at him.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. So those are the two things you got. So we also have to talk about your hit points.
I got two more.
You got two more hit points? Did you roll?
I got 12.
Did you roll it? Is that what you did?
I don't remember.
No, remember it was a whole big like problem we were having. Right?
No, I don't remember.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
What was the whole thing?
We like had to pause. It wouldn't apply. Yeah. Like it was
a lot to fix a setting.
Yeah. Right.
It was a whole thing.
It was a whole
thing. I don't remember how I got new hit points, but I got two new hit points. I have 12 now.
Wow.
Twinsies.
Excellent. So you've got 12 hit points. You got some great new.
It does say rolled hit points were 8. Hit points from bonuses are +4 from constitution.
Got it.
So it seems like my total possible hit points are 20. But I don't have that now.
No. All right.
What I do have is a tiny little unarmored body.
Yes, you do. But you're a martial artist, so.
I know. I'm pretty sly.
You're furiously fast.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Especially during my floor routine.
That's right. Yeah. I cannot wait to see this.
I can't wait for Dal to hold me up over their head like Baby in Dirty Dancing while I've Had the Time of My Life plays in the background.
Just
nobody puts Zanros in the corner.
Just as long as Dal doesn't drop you and like impale you on her horns.
Oh my God.
That's going to be a little dangerous.
Morbid.
Dal, do your hands reach over your horns?
Let's figure that out.
Guys. I'm curious. Can Dal even lift you over?
Wait, no, I can check this. There is a way to check this.
I'm sure there is.
Yes.
You have something on your mind. I can see it.
But if Dal can't lift me fully over their head, they could just lift me in front. I weigh 29 pounds.
Yeah. It's not
like, even I can do that. Right. So they could lift me like this.
There's still my slingshot idea.
Yes.
I like that idea.
I do too.
Which I'm all for.
We haven't had the opportunity to try it yet, but we will. Don't worry. Mm-hmm.
You can be lifted above my head.
Ooh.
Above the horns?
Yes.
Cool.
Nice.
So, Fable, let's talk about Dal's leveling up.
Okay. How do I do that again? I apologize.
All right. So, you got your character.
Mm-hmm.
Next to your name.
Mm. Manage. Character and levels.
Yes.
All right. I was there already, but. And then.
So what do you get? What are your second level abilities now that you've gotten? Channel divinity?
Oh, yeah. Oh, duh. There it is. All right. There we go. Yeah. I got channel divinity.
Ooh. So what is. Tell us about this.
Okay. So where is it? At second level, you gain the ability to channel divine energy directly from your deity, using that energy to fuel magical effects. You could start with two. Turn undead as an effect determined by your domain. And what else is here? I forget what
Now you can turn undead?
I believe I can. As an action, you present your holy symbol and speak a prayer.
Centering the undead?
Yes.
Ooh.
Each undead that can see or hear you within 30 feet must make a wisdom saving throw. If the creature fails, it is turned for 1 minute or until it takes any damage. A turned creature must spend its turns trying to move as far away from you as it can, and it can't willingly move to a space within 30 feet of you. It also can't take reactions. For its action, it can use only the dash action or to try to escape from an effect that prevents it from moving. And if there's nowhere to move, the creature can use a dodge action.
That's pretty cool.
And that's the first option for Channel Divinity.
Right.
That's another. Oh my gosh. And that is preserve life.
Uh-huh.
You can use your Channel Divinity to heal the badly injured. So as an action, you present your holy symbol and invoke healing energy that can restore a number of hit points equal to 5 times your cleric level.
And ooh. So that's what, 10?
Yeah, 10.
Nice.
So any creature within 30 feet of you and divide those hit points among them.
Okay. So since you've got like basically two other people in your party, you could give them, if you split it evenly, you give them 5 hit points each.
Yeah. This feature can restore a creature to no more than half of its hit point maximum, and I can't use it on undead or construct, but that'd be fine.
Cool. That's awesome. Now what else? Now you get more spells, right?
I do. Let me go to that real quick.
Ooh, detect poison and disease.
I think that's what I added.
That sounds new.
Yeah, I think that is what I added. And I think I added command as well. So those are my two new ones.
Got it. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting. New spells are always fun. So, and how many more hit points did you get?
I think I just got 2.
All right. So we got your characters leveled up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is really exciting. So they've got all sorts of new abilities. The key points and stuff are phenomenal for monks. I loved when I played my Tabaxi monk. The key points were awesome, but he had the cat's claws,
mm-hmm.
which was like,
right.
Which I think is like a 1d6 instead of a 1d4 for like an unarmed attack. I think it was a 1d4, but he could use his claws. So it was like a 1d6. So when he did the flurry of blows, it was like 2d6 damage.
Do we want to talk about what Iquium has?
Even sure.
Though James isn't here. Just so that we've talked about all of our.
Let's go to Iquium's character. So he's got, Eldritch Invocations. He probably had spells too. He's got Eldritch Blast, which I think he had, Mage Hand, which he had. Ooh, Dissonant Whispers. Which is a good one, an unseen servant. I don't remember which spells he had, but let's look at the class feature. So Eldritch Invocations, which he hasn't picked yet. So in your study of occult lore, because he's a human warlock.
Right.
In your study of occult lore, you have unearthed Eldritch Invocations fragments of forbidden knowledge that imbue you with an abiding magical ability. At second level, you gain 2 Eldritch Invocations of your choice. Your invocation options are detailed at the end of the class description, yada, yada, yada. When you gain certain warlock levels, you gain additional invocations of your choice, shown in the known invocations column. Additionally, when you gain a level in this class, you can choose one of the invocations you know and replace it with another invocation that you could learn at that level. So you can, as you level up, you can always swap them out. Oh, there's, oh man, there's a bunch of them too. Some of these names. Agonizing Blast.
Nice.
When you cast Eldritch Blast, add your charisma modifier to the damage it deals on a hit. Armor of Shadows. You can cast mage armor on yourself at will without expending a spell slot or material components.
Cool.
Beast Speech.
Ooh.
You can speak with animals at will without expending a spell slot.
You can talk to our wolves?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Devil's Sight. You can see normally in darkness, both magical and non-magical, to a distance of 120 feet.
That'll help him because he doesn't have...
That would be, yeah, exactly. That'd be really helpful for a human not having dark vision. So he could, because you can pick two of them. You can pick two of these. So yeah, he could definitely pick Devil's Sight and get dark vision, which would be nice.
Yeah. Of course, he could pick something else and then just rely on us.
True. So the unarmed strike?
Mm-hmm.
No, literally his unarmed strike.
Yeah.
Deals zero damage. Like, oh, yeah, on his character sheet. Yeah. Unarmed strike, zero damage.
That sucks.
Well, even when he uses his staff.
Yeah.
He has a melee. So if he uses a melee weapon as a staff.
Yeah.
It deals 1d6 minus 3 damage. So he's got to roll at least a 4 to do any damage with his staff.
Why did we go with this dude? He's useless.
He's not. He's a great spellcaster.
Well, okay, there's that.
Because he offered us money.
That's true. Fable's right.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, see? So you guys got greedy. All you saw was the gold.
I was going there anyway.
Yes, you are.
I need money to open my B&B.
But don't you have family money?
How dare you? I am an independent rock gnome. Nepo baby
confirmed?
Oh my god.
I had to. I remember
Fable
the floor.
Just Nepo babied me.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about the floor.
Yes.
The what? Whole point is that Zanros doesn't want to be a Nepo baby.
I know. I had to say it, though.
Yeah, but the property is your parents, so you still kind of are.
Wow.
Wow.
It's not like you're going to buy property. You're taking your family land.
I mean.
All right. So,
yes.
So we've talked about all the characters leveling up. Now what?
Now we wanted to talk about Fable's experiences.
Yes.
Because everything that Fable has done up until now has been a homebrew.
Yeah.
So this is their first
Fable.
Yes.
So let's talk. So talk to us about your experience in the homebrew campaign. So it was June of 2022. So it's been about a year and a half?
Yes, in that specific campaign, I have been playing for, it tells you on D&D Beyond, it's great, like over 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, what's been your experience? What is, I mean, because I've played in homebrew campaigns myself, so what is your specific campaign? Who's your DM?
The great thing about homebrew is it's flexible. So we started out, my DM was my friend Matt, and he was DMing our quest. It was called Key Quest.
Uh-huh.
And basically we were at this tavern, and the barkeep was like, there's this chest, and no one can open it. But if you get the 6 petals, I believe, I can pull it up, you can get the key to get the treasure inside. But the petals are scattered throughout the world, and some of them we have to fight to get the petals, and there's also the stuff that happens in between.
Uh-huh.
Like Well, I guess I'll get to that later. I'll talk about our DM right now. So we start out with Matt, and then our player, Kia, gets kidnapped in the middle of the night, like a couple sessions into this. And now she's the DM. She's DMing her basically murder mystery of how she got kidnapped. And now our DM is a player.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It sounds like a lot. So what has... So now that you've had a couple sessions in a kind of sandbox environment of a D&D official module, what are the differences between the two?
I think it's pretty different, both because probably because we're playing this on the podcast and we have to like lock in. We play for like 10 hours at a time. There's lots of dilly-dallying.
Uh-huh.
It feels like a little bit more rigid and like in who we face and all of that.
Uh-huh.
Gosh.
Yeah, because yes and no. So yeah. So the book says one thing, but I as a DM can still change things. So there were far more goblins in that cave than what you actually encountered. Because some of you were very low on hit points.
Mm-hmm. I think what I mean...
Me?
I think what I mean by it is that when you're DMing homebrew, they have complete creative control.
Right.
And like we get off course a lot. And so she just, for the most part, unless it's like really important and she steers us in the right direction, like makes something up. Like we've done a lot of side quests. She actually made this really cool idea for a couple different things. But one of the main ones was we were fishing and we rolled a D12 and that determined what we'd get. But some of them were not all fish. And I happened to roll, and I had to fight Sans Undertale.
What?
Yep.
Care to explain?
It turned into a boss fight, and I had to fight him. But I was by myself. And I did win, but, you know.
Did you?
I did.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Like, stuff like that is implemented.
Uh-huh.
She had this, while we were in the city, Salio City, which she made up, and it's amazing. She had this thing where we could roll for random encounters. If we're getting bored, we could roll this dice, and a random encounter would happen.
Right.
Sophia, known as Thorn in this campaign, had to fight John Cena. And she beat his ass within 30 seconds, and he was like, how do I become like you? And, like, and she was, I think she said... Either, I don't know, something about being a lesbian. He's like, I gotta be a lesbian now. And then he ran away. Like, random stuff like that.
So Sophia turned John Cena lesbian?
Yes.
Interesting.
She also had this thing where we could get jobs at the shops in the city. I worked at a botany shop.
Uh-huh.
We became models at one point. We got modeling jobs. We were recruited. We were recruited to be models, and we got some jewelry out of it.
Nice.
Yes. There's actual pictures of us posing in real life, by the way.
That's awesome.
And we had to roll for how good we looked and like how well we did. And I failed miserably because I was nervous. But Sophia just stood there and then she rolled like a nat 20. So it was like, oh my God, I love you. Like, boop, boop, boop. Like,
very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's pluses and minuses to homebrew and D&D modules. I mean, because, I mean, again, like you said, I mean, D&D modules are somewhat, you're somewhat constricted by...
She makes up every NPC, every shop. She can choose whatever shop she wants to be. She can put in whatever she wants into these shops. Like... the exploding chicken bombs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she was also able to help us get a clue into her character's lore because there was this, like, basically thrift shop, and we actually found her character's purse, which had drawings from her childhood inside, and it was screwed up because every single D&D character's childhood is screwed up.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what do you like about our campaign compared to Homebrew, which you're used to?
I'm playing D&D regularly.
That's always a plus.
The problem with us is that it takes a while to make up an entire world from scratch.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
Wait, they sent me a bunch of things talking about
that. That is one of the, not necessarily a drawback, but it is one of the things to consider if you are going to build a homebrew world. I mean, everything is of your own imagination. So to build those encounters and develop the NPCs and develop all the things that come up in that adventure, it's a lot of work. It really is a lot of work. And I give a lot of credit to anybody that has that ability, because I want to say it's not that it isn't easy, but I mean it's just a lot. It's a lot to keep track of. So you've got to be very organized. You gotta be very organized when you are building that world and planning it out for people to play inside of it.
Before we started this recording, I consulted the D&D group chat, and she sent me this. She said, honestly, the hardest part is coming up with everything from scratch and just hoping it'll come together in the end.
Right.
Because she's writing this over the course of months. Like, that's why I usually have to take a month to get all the good shit done. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. And she said, if something sucks when you look back at it, like you're writing, you just change it.
Right. Absolutely.
And something she said about that also is that it really helped her outside of D&D. She's gotten better at creative writing, world building, and creating art while being fun and not like a job. Mm-hmm. Not like art class, we have to get it done. So it's really helped her develop her skills outside of D&D.
That's super cool. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Excellent. Well, thank you for your insight on homebrew versus standard D&D modules, which is what we're playing.
That was fun.
Pandelver and Below, the Shattered Obelisk. I just like saying that. I know, right? So we are going to be working on our next recipe, which we would have normally done for this episode. However, since Catherine and I have both been under the weather, we skipped the cooking for this week. So we will be baking a pie for our actual play when James is here. So
we're going to be making the Heartlands Rose Apple and Blackberry Pie. And here's a little story with it. As the story goes, a hungry halfling returned from her hillside stroll with a heavy basket of crisp rose apples and plump blackberries. In typical indecisive halfling fashion, she couldn't decide which to fill her pie with, so she chose both. And thus this legendary halfling dessert pie was born. A thick handmade crust and a flaky, buttery top blanket a tart and tasty rose apple, nearly any apple suffices, season pending of course, and blackberry filling with spiced ground accents. Some halflings even dust their crust with a white cheddar that melts for a unique flavor, but all of them agree that it would be a sin to serve this without a scoop of freshly whipped sweet cream.
So this recipe sounds interesting because, this is not the first time that I've heard people putting cheese, like cheddar cheese, on.
No, cheddar cheese on an apple pie is a thing.
It's the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of an apple pie purist, like no cheese for me, but a lot of people seem to dig it.
I think it probably goes along the same idea of like a sweet and savory, right?
Yeah.
Like
cheese danishes.
Yeah. People.
There's no apples in a cheese danish though.
I'm saying it's the same concept. Cheese is good.
Cheese is always good. Cheese and pastry.
Yes. That's what they're.
But I'm thinking like people who dip fries in milkshakes.
Yeah.
Sweet and savory.
Oh, I get the whole thing. I've just never been a cheese on my apple pie kind of person. But this is apples and blackberries.
Yes.
So who knows?
Well, and then we get to make our own whipped cream if we want.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I think that covers everything that we wanted to talk about today.
I think so.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you both for joining me here today on Legends, Loot, and Lore. Anyone we should give a shout out to, Fable? Kia. Sophia.
Matt. Donnie. They all gave me good input on what to say.
So thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode. We'll be back next week with an interview with somebody. And then we'll be back in the first week of the month with the actual play. This will be when you actually get to. So let's do a little preview. So this will be when you actually get to the town of Phandalin. So let's start with Dal. Dal, what is your reasoning for going to Phandalin again?
I got to meet up with Sister G.
Sister G, that's right, yeah. Gabrielle.
Sister G.
Excellent. Is it the book? You're looking for a book.
I'm looking for something.
You're looking for something. You don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Got it. And Zanros, you're looking to claim the family property.
Which I believe won't be without difficulty.
Oh, no, there will be some difficulty.
Yeah, I thought there might be. There might be some squatters at my B&B.
Oh, there's definitely some squatters at the B&B.
Will my goblins be able to help with this?
Ooh. That's a good question. I don't know. They're not very brave. They're great at like basic tasks, like robbing people, but we'll see. I'll see if they can help you clear out the manor, and you're gonna have to leave them there to rebuild it.
Obviously, yes.
Yes.
They'll also have to work on their uniforms and the entertainment for the evening. And
there's you've got so much going on.
I really do. There's a lot to be done.
To be a proprietor of a B&B.
We have to figure out who's going to do housekeeping, who's going to handle the restaurant. We have all three meals available every day.
Should we make a menu and post the menu?
We totally should make a menu.
I'm making a menu right as we
speak. Okay.
Okay. So there's a lot to be going on as far as preparing the B&B. And I think I'm trying to remember. Well, Iquium is going there because he's the friend of Gundren Rockseeker. So he was the one escorting the wagon of supplies.
Right. We still have to find him, right? Like, we got to go back and get him at some point too, right?
He's somewhere.
And we do want to save him.
I would think you would. Because I think, if I recall correctly, that Gundren and or his maps have been brought to the Kragmaw Castle.
Yeah. Well, at least the maps.
Right.
So that's where, we were going to head to Phandalin to deliver stuff.
Right.
While we're in Phandalin, I assume we're going to swing by the, can I say where we're going?
Where?
The Tresender Manor.
Tresender Manor. I think we've already discussed that on the podcast.
I don't know if we have. Which my family is in ownership of, and which I want to turn into the Bemble Bumble B&B.
Right.
So we're going to have to go through whatever we have to go through in there. I hope Gundren's okay, because I think it's going to be a little bit before we manage to get back to him.
I hope so, too. We'll find out.
You're being very mysterious.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Very ominous.
Yes, indeed. All right, so tune in to find out. What will the party do when they get to Phandalin? What's going to happen at Tresender Manor when Zanros gets there and tries to take it over and convert it into her B&B?
How many of the people squatting in it can she turn into employees?
That's right. Will Dal find Sister G and what she's looking for? Will Iquium and the crew find Gundren and figure out what's going on? Only time will tell.
How much can Iquium lift? Not much.
Very little, if anything. I mean, again, His unarmed strike is zero.
I think he said he could lift like 50 pounds.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tune in for that episode. That's in a couple of weeks. And we'll be back next week with another interview. Thank you all for listening.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Legends, Loot, and Lore. We hope you've enjoyed immersing yourself in the realms of legends, uncovering hidden loot, and delving into captivating lore. But the journey doesn't end here. For exclusive content, behind-the-scenes insights, and access to our community, visit legendslootandlore.supercast.com. There you'll be able to support the podcast, where you can join our Discord server for lively discussions and subscriber-only content, and connect with fellow enthusiasts. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook at Legends, Loot, and Lore to continue on the quest. By following our social media channels, you'll be the first to know about upcoming episodes, bonus content, and exciting announcements. If you've enjoyed your time with us, we kindly ask you to rate and subscribe to this podcast. Your support means the world to us and helps us continue producing captivating episodes and embarking on new quests. Thank you for being a part of our journey. We're thrilled to have you by our side as we unravel the legends, uncover the loot, and delve deeper into the lore. Until next time.